Hi, this is Will, online as WNSFET, and just want to say thanks to everybody for being there since November and January 20th. It's been weird and kind of awful, but you guys have certainly made things a little easier. Thanks. Keep the faith.
Podcast. Time for a podcast. Time for the Metafilm Podcast. Josh Millard and Jeff Manwes. Talk with somebody about the best of the web. The best of the web.
Well, shall we do this thing?
Yeah. You know, let's do this thing.
I've got an idea. Let's record a podcast.
Do you want to
record a podcast?
You and me?
Yeah.
Sure.
Should we just do it?
Sure.
All right. Well, hey, welcome to the Metafilter Monthly Podcast, Best of the Web. I feel like this intro disintegrates every time I do it. But this is episode 125. Today is February the 7th. And we're covering basically the start of the year through today. I think we recorded this one on the 2nd of January.
Yeah.
I am Josh Millard, a.k.a. Cortex.
And I'm Jessamine.
And I'm excited to announce that I have somewhat repaired in a very hacky fashion the mic I used to record this, which has been previously...
I didn't know there was something wrong with your mic.
It was a subtle thing, but there was a little bit of noise coming through, a little bit of hum sometimes, because it's a fancy mic. This is a mic that... It's a USB mic, a Rode Podcaster that Matt handed down to me years ago.
I remember, yeah.
And it's a nice mic. It's and it rests on a suspended shock mount. You know, it's like there's an inner ring that the mic's attached to, and an outer ring attached to the mic stand, and then there's a bunch of elastic running between the two that holds it just like floating in the air there. And that's great because that eliminates a whole lot of noise transfer from the desk that the mic is sitting on, and it means.
I was always wondering what that was for. Okay,
yeah, it's like, you know, it's shocks. It's a shock mount, and since a microphone just turns vibrations into noise, if you don't have some sort of shock protection between like a desk and the mic, knocking on the desk will make noise in the mic. You know, a computer humming on the desk will transfer as like hum into the mic. And the last few episodes, at least, you know, I've had some issues where I was noticing there was a noise after the fact, and I finally took a look at the mic and realized, well, the elastics had just given away enough that it was just sitting on the fucking outer ring. So the shock mount was doing nothing.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Which again, like there's not construction going on in my office when I'm recording, so it's not a huge deal, but like, I was like, oh, that's why that sort of shitty
sound.
You're
just getting a little weird sound.
Exactly.
It's funny, right? Because I'm sort of the, oh my God, where is that sound coming from person about a completely different part of my life. You know, like the podcast, I'm like, yeah, whatever. Blah. Like I did turn off my humidifier, but other than that, whatever. Sure. You take your chances, you get what you get. But like, you know, when I'm like trying to go to sleep, like I'll sit here in a hotel room and be like, what the fuck? What is that noise? Like there's something, right? Like and maybe there's a refrigerator that hums, or maybe there's like a, like I stayed in an Airbnb with a fan in the bathroom that just you couldn't turn off. And so I had to like get on the internet to learn how to take it apart, you know, like. So I know what you're talking about, only not in that example, in a completely different example.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you fixed it. Congratulations.
Yeah, I rigged it up with a couple of elastic hair ties that Secretariat suggested I try.
Isn't she sharp?
She is.
She's the sharpest.
But yeah, so anyway, anybody who is a super audiophile who's been just furious about that the last few episodes, congratulations.
I don't think we've gotten a bunch of, you know, negative feedback on that, though I do have to say, you know, doing the big call-in show, I really feel like... sort of did exactly what we wanted to
do. It dragged some people in, you know.
It got a lot more people in, a lot more people interactive. I think we should do that somehow, you know.
Yeah, I like the idea of doing that. And actually, you know, I've noticed a couple of voicemails come in since then. I didn't think to check them before the recording, but maybe I'll slip them into the episode.
Nice. Well, because it didn't seem to kill you with work either. Like, I mean, I know it was a lot more work.
Yeah. It was like, I'm not going to do that every month just because it's enough more work. But it's totally doable. Like that as like a quarterly thing, I think would be totally doable. And then maybe doing some other stuff on episodes in between that's a little bit lower impact.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, I think that's a great idea. And I enjoyed that one too. Just, you know.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And it was fun having everybody having a good time in the thread.
Yes, just a little grab-assery. It's always good for everybody. Well, and I feel like Metafilter's been really trying, sort of, even like from a specific kind of mod, but also user perspective, to have there be stuff in MetaTalk that's positive,
yeah,
so that people can remember,
yep,
what it's like to feel joy.
Yeah,
But that's been a concerted effort that I do feel like has borne fruit. We can talk about that a little bit later too. But
yeah, totally.
I've enjoyed it as a user, and you know, thanks.
Yeah, no, I it's something we're going to keep aiming for because it's actually been pretty important for me. I've been, you know, as I've been wondering what sort of mood I was even going to be in when we recorded, because it's like, it's kind of varies day to day and hour to hour,
sure,
sometimes these,
sure,
days, you know, more than I'm,
yeah,
used to. You know, I'm very accustomed to being a pretty kind of blasé, chill, like either energetically cheerful or laid back cheerful person. And,
right. Even keel you are.
Yeah. And it's been slightly less, you know, I mean, I'm not unrecognizable or anything, but, I spent a lot more time being, angry or occasionally despairing than I'm accustomed to. So I wasn't sure if I was going to be like just full of positive energy here or just like, man, this fucking everything. What do you do, man?
Yeah, right.
We may be writing a line in between, and I feel like that's okay. That's probably about an honest representation of the zeitgeist in general right now.
Sure. Well, and also I feel like, you know, depending on the time of day we record, which is completely opaque to the people listening usually.
Oh, yeah, true.
But, you know, late in the day I'm just tired or whatever, and I just got back from a big long trip, which turned out to be super fun, and I had a great time, and hi-yo, Toronto meetup people, you were amazing. But like sometimes I just come home and I'm flattened and I just want to like lie in bed and read like magazines for,
yep,
2 days.
Yep.
But I'm in a pretty cheery mood and nobody sneezed on me and gave me the crud on some, you know, I was on every form of public transportation there is and like hugging a lot of people at this, you know, not at the same time, in different times, but yeah, stood out in the cold too much and stayed healthy. So I'm a little excited about that. And I left the country, which I recommend.
Yeah. Yeah. With qualifications.
If you possibly can. Right. Right. Well, although that was part of it, right? We mentioned this sort of before we started recording, but, you know, in Boston, the airports were not full of people in trouble as much as they were full of lawyers ready for people in trouble, which was nice.
Yeah.
By the time I left the country and when I came back, certainly. So, you know, by the time this podcast goes up, we may know something more about, you know, the actual sort of ban and its quasi-legality to begin with. But I was heartened to see that and heartened by the positive reception I felt like I got from the nice Canadian people who were just sorry. I appreciated the hell out of that.
Way to be Canadians.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Oh, and this month, we're back to like numbers that are actually kind of cool.
125 is great. It's a fucking cube.
Yes. You can build a box out of 125, and it's awesome. And it's a sum of squares, and I didn't know this, in two different ways.
Josh. Is it? Let's see. 100 plus 25.
Yeah.
144 and 9? No, that's not good math.
I mean.
Well, that's really bad math. you know, just add. Yeah, okay. What's the other?
Apparently,
squares.
11 squared plus 2 squared?
Oh.
So what's 11?
11 is 121.
True? It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
And then there's a whole bunch of other crap. And in fact, there's so much other crap. There's a Wikipedia banner that's like, this article may contain indiscriminate, excessive, or irrelevant examples. So I'm going to fix that when we get off the phone. But you know, Wikipedia. I just enjoy it so much lately. Like all the crap on Wikipedia is such low level crap compared to high level crap. That,
yeah.
So yeah, 125. Kind of interesting.
Good job, 125. You're managing to pull some weight for your neighbors. We'll see how 126 does. But
I can already almost guess. Just not well. But we'll see. We'll,
yep,
see.
Well,
why borrow trouble?
Exactly. Jobs, there's someone needs a phone book sent to Iceland.
Oh, okay? I saw that. So, I was kind of hoping somebody had handled that because it went up in the very beginning of January.
Yeah. Well, yeah, January 6th. So it's been like a month and presumably still no phone book in Iceland, or from Iceland rather. In Iceland. Yes. Anyway, go read the job description. Phone book Iceland. Somebody can make this do. Just make this happen for the hell of it. Just, you know, go for it.
Handle this.
Yeah. Let's get that sucker nailed down. Also, there's a PHP job, which is also good. So,
great. You know, somebody do that. A little box where we can paste stuff in.
Yes, yes. We've been recording for, 20 minutes now, 10 of which we're just throwing away. Now we remember how we do this podcast thing.
Great.
But there are jobs.
Yeah, so that's the sum total of jobs, actually. Yep. We're not just bringing out our favorites. We're discussing every last one of them.
The unfilled ones. I think there were a couple more this month, but I think they've been successfully handled already.
Oh, do you have like some special admin view where you can see those?
No, I just remember getting emails.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, why don't I have that?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm supposed to give someone a gift account, and I couldn't make it work on my phone, so I may have to kibitz with you afterwards.
All right, that's fine.
Because I was like, oh, yeah, somebody came with a family member, and I was like, let's sign him up. And they gave me $5, which I'll put in an envelope to you if you want. And I was like, really, not necessary. Yeah, they're give it to Josh. I was like, fine.
Send me a $5 postcard, like a fancy postcard.
Okay.
That'll work.
Okay. But it just didn't work, but maybe it was my phone. I didn't even get a SIM card for this trip to Canada because I was like, I don't need to be that in touch.
Yeah.
So
just use Wi-Fi when you need it.
Yeah, I just used iMessage for everything, but I was kind of in the iffy Wi-Fi. At any rate, we'll figure it out. But I was like, maybe this is an admin tool that doesn't work anymore or that I don't have access to anymore.
I feel like I've used it recently, but I feel like it might be somehow hitchy. So, yeah, we should check it out.
Yeah. I've got like a little scrap of paper wrapped around a $5 bill.
Metafilter, she's an old boat. You know, she's sometimes the engine needs a little bit of greasing. I don't know. What do you do with an engine? I'm bad at boats. I regret bringing them up. Hey, you want to talk about projects?
Sure.
There was a lot of projects.
I have a couple favorite projects this time around, one of which went up right afterwards. And unfortunately, I would like this to be on my, so there's this podcast that I've been listening to and it's amazing. But instead, it's like, so there's this podcast I am going to start listening to and I'm sure it's amazing, which is Errant, who does a podcast with himself and his friend Tim Yang called Race Invaders.
Yes.
Which is basically like social justice, politics, race stuff, geek stuff, and they're on like episode 16, so if that sounds really awesome to you, you should go listen to it. And Errant pulled out a couple that he really likes of the 16 if you're having a hard time picking among
how
do I get started kind of thing.
Which is a really good idea for a podcast. Like, you know, it's one thing to say, well, no, I mean, I feel like all the episodes are good. And it's, you know, another thing to say, you know, this one, go listen to this one. This one you will probably like.
Well, and wasn't that – I feel like that was its own blog at some point, like podcasters choose their favorite episode kind of thing. Although, you know, this may be something that – like those guys who I came to talk to about podcasts when I came down to Massachusetts the last time, where originally they were going to take us out to dinner, but then we wound up having like pour over coffee in somebody's office and it sucked and I was mad. Because they wanted to interview a bunch of librarians, so they talked to me and Discourse Marker and Horace Rumpel. And, like, they were really nice, but they've just basically – they're startup dudes with an app, and they wanted some library feedback. And we gave them some library feedback, and I think that was one of the features they were thinking of, which maybe now I've broken some MDA that I never signed. but, like, where podcasters pick their favorite episode, because I think for a lot of people, if you listen to a podcast regular, you can pick, like, this one we were just on fire and – etc.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I feel like there was probably at least one blog like that because that rings a bell for me as well.
But more to the point, I like Errant's comments. I like listening to him. I think he really does a lot of sort of emotional labor type stuff in Metafilter race threads to try and make complicated issues understood. So I'm really looking forward to listening to this because if it's anything like you know, the comments that he makes. I mean, maybe he's got a little squeaky voice. I don't know. But I mean, that's my concern, right? That's my concern about all internet people. Before I met Jim, my biggest concern was, what if he has a squeaky voice?
Well, I've met him at least once at a meetup in Seattle. I think
squeaky?
I may have seen him. No, actually, he has a perfectly nice voice. So I think you can rest.
I mean, nothing wrong with squeaky voices, but I might not pick them for my podcast listening.
Sure, sure.
I think I may have a squeaky voice.
I liked this update on a previous project back in October last year, I think. Tess Martin had posted about a multiplane animation stand that she built.
I remember we talked about that.
Yeah. So now, just after the last podcast, she posted a trailer for a animated work called Ginevra. Ginevra? Ginevra? Ginevra. Ginevra.
No, Ginevra. Ginevra. I was reading it like Ginevra.
Yeah.
It's not.
You know, like Minerva's sister.
I don't even know. What?
Yeah.
Who?
Minerva? That's like a Greek goddess or something, I think. Or something. Something.
Seriously, is your Google broken? Why are we having this conversation? Are you sitting in front of a computer right now?
the worst radio in the world. Okay, hold. Let's just be quiet while I type and read quietly to myself.
Oh no, I'm
Roman
happy
goddess.
To, you know,
Roman
rag
goddess
on you while
of,
you type.
Okay, well then that's as long as we can keep the chatter going. Yes, Minerva is a Roman goddess of wisdom and sponsor of arts, trade, and strategy. I thought it said sponsor of ants, and I was like, wow. But yes, she was born with weapons from the head of Jupiter. And things just sort of go from there, as you might imagine with Roman and Greek mythology. Anyway, so that's kind of it's neat. Here's the post about making the tool, and now here's something that came from that tool. I think that's a nice
awesome.
Sort of, you know, follow up.
I do have to say, because you probably won't mention it, I really did enjoy your project.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was one of
Josh
many.
Josh made an inauguration live stream right the day before the inauguration. What was it like being the guy who owned that domain?
It was a non-issue. I mean, the fact that the domain was available sort of speaks to the fact that it was unlikely anything was going to come of it. I mean, it's such a flash in the pan domain joke, and it's not something where, like, I showed it to several people, like, oh man, I really thought it was going to be like a picture of someone just taking a dump, which
thank
in retrospect
not being
you know
that.
Something like that, you know,
no, I know
sort of, I could see that. I mean, I think that may have been someone's specific example, but you know, and instead it's just me sort of being angry and sincere about shit being fucked up and Trump being awful and us needed to take care of each other, but. Yeah, it was sort of a weird little instinctive thing, but I was glad I wrote it up. But
yeah.
There was a bunch of essentially activist and solidarity stuff on projects this last couple weeks in particular, which I mean, no surprise, but still, it's nice to. It's nice to see visible signs of that along with everybody, because, you know, I mean, people are worried, they're scared, they have lots of genuine, really good reasons to just kind of be on edge and on the defensive. And it's nice to see people managing to also sort of go on the offensive and sort of say, okay, what do we do now? What's next? What can we accomplish? How can we get this stuff done together? So.
Yeah. And, you know, I was just looking at Duffel's post because he had mentioned it in a in a thread, one of the threads about stuff. It's basically a essay. And the title is "You Are Personally Inconvenienced by a Protest Action You Support. How Should You React?" And it's nice because it is like kind of a thing that's worth thinking about. Like, well, maybe you're not a protester, or maybe you're not an activist, maybe you're not out carrying a sign, but you're just going around your day-to-day, and maybe there are other protesters or activists around you doing things, and maybe they get in your way, and it's easy to kind of be like, grump, 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 you know, those protesters don't understand how much I'm inconvenienced, grump, grump, maybe I don't agree with whatever. People, you get irritated, and you kind of start feeling weird. And so this is a little kind of pre-gaming to like think about, well, what would you do and what's important and how can you make things go a little better for everybody, especially if you agree with the protesters.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that. So I, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, I keep telling people, because there's a lot of people in Metafilter like, I don't know if I can go to a protest, or it's not safe for me to go to a protest, or a whole bunch of other things. And so it's nice to be like, well, maybe you can just kind of, you know, help other people not have a bad user experience when they're, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So it's cool.
Yeah, no, I like that. It was a nice thoughtful piece, and definitely like that's part of the reality of like wanting everybody to be sort of fired up and getting out there and whatnot, is really understandable. And I sort of feel that way to some extent, but it's also, everybody's also got to live their lives and not everybody's going to be able to do everything or feel up to doing every kind of thing. And so, yeah, just sort of being part of the collective whole in terms of sort of supporting what's going on, even if you're not actively doing it, is definitely a good way to help.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily what would come naturally. So I do appreciate him actually writing it down in words so you can kind of, you know, think it through.
Yeah.
I thought it was well put.
Yeah, exactly. Man, yeah, there's a bunch of stuff. I mean, there was also like stuff that's like just nice projects and stuff too. Like
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. No, you. Please.
Well, because I'm just a, you know, Wikipedia. This was like the one lib, one ref Wikipedia kind of 3-week project, which encourages all librarians to add a citation to Wikipedia. So I've been like a little more deep into Wikipedia than I would be normally. And this is just a project that is called Wikinot, which is by Operation Afterglow. And is just kind of a cool little website that pulls out little excerpts from Wikipedia that have really cool pictures and little blips, and I like it. You learn little things without having to kind of read stuff or actually go to Wikipedia.
Yeah,
but it has links back to it. It's just a really nice kind of Tumblr style thing.
Good old arm fall off boy.
And the moon rabbit.
Yeah.
And the Codex Seraphinianus.
I'm going to be all – oh, yeah, I knew about that, though. I'm just – I was into that before. It was cool. I've seen the Falkirk wheel before, but every time I see it, I'm like, man, look at that fucking thing.
I know. Oops, sorry. That's me doing the hollering thing that makes the thing.
You weren't peeking on my end, so.
Yeah, well, and, you know, it just kind of got me kind of, you know, reading about the dude who completed a marathon in 54 years, got married, had grandkids. Like, they're just, these are, it's a curated set of kind of what makes people really like Wikipedia. And so, yeah. Thanks for doing it.
Yeah, that's neat. There's a couple... I'm totally behind on music, so I'm going to like go sideways with music, and I guess mention some of it right here, just by mentioning projects. But there's a couple of there's a couple of projects. I'm nailing the delivery here.
What?
There was a project post by Grand Gauzier. Grand Gauzier.
Grand
Gauzier. Yeah. Super Whippy, the band. They're in Culture Amnesia, just put out an album called Super Whippy that I just listened to today, and it's neat. It's weird. It's, you know, they describe it as all over the place, with peculiar stop offs, and I'd say that's appropriate, but it's all nice stuff. I really dug it. I am looking forward to listening to also, Annika, Cicada, has Transoma 5. Deluxe remaster coming up. This is sort of coming up, so like I don't think you can listen to it yet, but she said
that this was for a band that she was in 23 years ago.
Yeah. So this is like a flashback remaster, and there's going to be digital versions. So I'm excited about both of those. Go listen to Super Whippy.
And the people who liked it are Johnny Wallflower, Scruss, and you. And Scruss brought the most amazing snacks to the meetup.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, this stuff called Tablet. Which is basically like kind of like a burnt sugar condensed milk thing.
I'm trying to remember if he brought that to Portland.
He said you have had it.
Okay, then yeah, I think he brought it. I think he brought it to Portland last.
It's just
last
a
fall.
Little baggie of this kind of stuff, and it's just so good, so good. So now I will never forget. Like, you know, I mix up people's names a lot of times and their usernames. And in my bag somewhere, there's a long list of everybody I met. But, like, Scruss and Tablet are forever now embedded in my brain. So tasty.
he sort of got me looking at some font software recently because I was working on like a little font design project, and he got me using something called FontForge, which is an open source piece of software that.
Oh, really? I mean, I saw your fonts. They look cool.
Yeah,
the butt font. You made a font that's butts.
It wasn't supposed to be, but I wholly embrace the fact that the M and the W certainly are quite buddy. So, but yeah, he sort of got me looking at that. So, which for better and for worse, it's a good piece of software. My first day looking at it, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. But then I realized
just because it's hard, or because
it's pretty powerful and it's got a lot of features, and it's for doing something that I'm not even familiar with in the first place. So knowing how to parse those features is difficult, and it's an open source project with all the sort of focus on functionality rather than smooth UI and user experience that you would expect from maybe an open source project like that. So it's a little bit of a brick wall to run into at first, but I sort of got the hang of it, and I'm looking forward to going back to it sometime soon. So thanks, Gress. You're nailing it. You're knocking out of the park. Speaking of fonts, actually, RGD. Let's see. Where is this?
RGD?
I say RGD, but I mean RGD, 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 like its initials, but I've talked to this guy on Metafilter and elsewhere a bunch of times over the years, and I've still never managed to fucking nail this down.
No, I think I have sent him shit in the mail, and I still don't.
Yeah, I've stayed at his house. You know, when we were in Huntsville year before last, before we came home.
A speech-to-text transcription of an obsolete software's attempts to pronounce my initials as a word.
Ah, that would do it.
So I think it is RGD.
Yeah.
But it's because his initials are RGD.
Yeah. Anyway, he made some nice fonts and he posted them on Milkshake. And he made a projects post about that. Like, he made these
saw those. They looked cool.
Yeah, it's really nice stuff. And this had come up in conversation because I was posting my stuff on Milkshake, and he's like, oh, hey, I made some stuff. I was like, go find it. And he did. And so I'm very excited about that.
Go find it.
Yep.
Go find it. Oh, man. So the Canadian user experience is just preferable to the United States user experience. And I was taking a train, commuter rail, from my mother's or my sister's to Boston or Cambridge. And I'm sitting there, and they got one of those little robots that just makes the announcements, you know? And some of the announcements are, you don't care, but some you kind of care about. But then they start telling you, like, when the train's going to come in. And so the message that you saw on the screen was, the train's going to show up in 14 minutes. Great. The message that the robot reads is that the train is going to come in 1-4 minutes. This is like a big city that you've heard about. You know, like, Boston is a real place. And, like, that's as good as they could do with the robot. It's not like a random thing, like there's a disaster or, you know, a chemical spill. Like, reading numbers is one of the only things that robot is supposed to do.
Yeah.
1-4 minutes.
Well, and maybe it's like a mode thing and they failed to set to the right mode. Like, I could see there being there's probably value in having something not
having
a string of digits.
Having
as
it do both
a
or either.
Number. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, phone number.
Like, you wouldn't want to tell someone to dial 503-233.
Right, dial 782. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah.
But they had it.
But still, sort your shit out. Come on.
So mad.
Frickin'
so
transit.
Mad. Well, and I told, like, my mom, like, oh, hey, just drop me off here. I'll wait for the train, which is coming in 25 minutes. It was, like, 25 degrees out. But there's this huge structure, so of course there must be a place to be indoors. No. They specifically made it that there's literally no, like, two walls that connect where you can get out of the wind. And everybody was, I shit you not, huddling in the elevators.
Oh, Jesus.
Because it was just too damn cold. And I'd been like, no, that's all right, Mom. I don't want to sit in the warm car. I'll be fine, because I was kind of like a little mommed out. But yeah, that'll fix me.
Do you have anything else you want to mention from projects?
I really enjoyed, though I have not played with it yet, Loquacious Crouton's reaction GIF generator or reaction GIF generator. Basically, you can make a face into the camera on your computer. It's a desktop app, and it will find a reaction GIF that matches, sort of.
Yeah.
And it got posted to Metafilter, and I really want to go play with it. It did not get a lot of love, actually. I mean, That's weird.
You never know.
It got a remarkable not amount of uptake for how amazing it is.
I have a theory that anything that says, please enable your webcam, like, probably bounces a bunch of people off. Or like, ah, fuck that.
What's the name of that cat, the white cat that just gives you the finger with its two front paws?
Yeah. Yes.
You know what I'm talking about,
yeah.
though, right?
Yeah.
Does that cat have a name? It's like the fuck you cat, but like...
I don't know. Like, I know I've seen it, but... Yeah.
Well, fuck you cat fingers is going to be a useful image search. Nope, actually, fuck you fingers is every goddamn picture of that cat. Check this out. This is actually kind of a wonderful thing. The whole first row. It's like a cookie cutter with that cat, socks with that cat, a window thing with that cat, a pocket thing with that cat. That's not bad. I'm pretty impressed by that, actually.
Yeah.
Still don't know what the thing's called.
Yeah, I don't know. It's I'm not going to look into it right now. But yeah, no, that's pretty great.
Cookie cutter cat with middle finger. Can you imagine if you were the guy that made that cat or the lady that made that cat? And like everybody's just like making money selling that cat, and you're like, that's my cat.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly how I'd feel. Like, on the one hand, I'd probably like, come on, let me fucking monetize this if I was wanting to see it monetized. But on the other hand, I'd probably be kind of delighted. Like, it's not exactly a Pepe the Frog situation. You're not like, oh my fucking God, what has happened to my thing? You know, at least it's...
Wow,
you know,
what a nightmare, right?
Yeah.
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 Poor
people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's mostly it for projects. Let me just make sure I didn't make any more comments or votes. Because as I told you earlier, I have made two comments and projects in the last 5 months.
Yeah.
Well, because I just vote for things.
Yeah. I try and remind myself to leave comments. You would think I would do better since I have to look at every single one. But, like, you know, sometimes I'm just busy and like, yep, that's an acceptable project. Well, going back to what are my days.
Right. I hear you.
Moon Patrol, out on patrol. Moon Patrol, out of control. Moon Patrol, masters of the moon. Moon Patrol, we'll pass on soon. Moon Patrol.
Next, I don't remember the order of anything.
Well, let's talk about Metafilter. Let's say that's next. Let's say next we'll talk about Metafilter.
For all I know, we do it every time or not.
Maybe.
I don't.
Yeah.
I literally don't know.
It's immaterial. What
it doesn't matter?
How do we know that we've ever actually podcasted before? How do we know that this isn't the moment that we both gained consciousness and everything else is a false implanted memory?
Before we do this, actually, I have to give an apology to Captain Renault, whose sister was at the library conference that I was at, and she told me I had to go up to him and say hi from your sister just to, like, as a joke, kind of. But then we wound up kind of, and I was like, what's his username? She's like, I don't know. That's what's going to make it all awesome. He refuses to tell me, right? So that's funny. But then we wound up talking on Twitter, and a third person who knew both of us, like, who knew Captain Renault, me, and his sister, was like, oh, that's so hilarious. You guys all know each other. Oh, yeah. His name is Captain Renault.
Oh,
and then basically told his sister on Twitter what his username was. It's not my fault, but I feel like maybe it's my responsibility. So
yeah.
I really should say I'm sorry about that. And the card cheat, I'm sorry you were busy doing something else because it would have been fun to have you at this meetup. But he came to my library talk because he's a librarian in Toronto.
Yay.
So that's it for my housekeeping. But
excellent.
Captain Renault, I am sorry. The card cheat. It's too bad you couldn't come to the meetup. It was fun.
Okay, Metafilter. Let's talk Metafilter. What's going on Metafilter? Okay, I'm now trying to do stand-up comedy and failing, stalling.
Was that
what else?
A
what
joke?
Else? What else? No, it
How
wasn't
about-
a joke. It's
hamada, hamada, hamada.
No, it's like a shtick. It's like, what else? What else? Okay, I don't know. I've listened to a lot of... comedians on podcasts in the last several years, and some of the like weird insider comedian culture about comedians being good and bad at comedy has rubbed off, even though I don't like do comedy like that. And it's,
oh sure, no, it's Jim and I are both like that too, that we spend an awful lot of time paying attention to comedy culture while not being a part of it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I know what you mean.
I refer to stuff as, like, bits sometimes, and Angela's like, what? You're not – well, that's not your word.
That was the funny thing from last month, right?
Oh, jeez.
You were doing a bit. I didn't know you were doing a bit. I mean, I'm the perfect straight person for these kind of situations.
It's a good dynamic we got going. So here's the thing
I
liked.
It's my dynamic with the rest of the world, unfortunately. I'm like, I don't understand. Is that a joke or I just
– As long as you can proceed in good cheer about your not knowing
what you're doing. Yeah, I don't
care. You're good, you know?
Although sometimes I do tell Jim because he's like kind of a jokey joke guy and I don't always get that he's making jokes. And so then I feel kind of misled over and over again.
Sure, yeah.
Where I'm like, okay, baby, you got to turn the joke meter down to like two. Just down to two.
Dial it back.
It's usually between 8 and 11. And I'm like, it's got to be down to two. Mom has just come from the airport. I'm exhausted. No more jokes. And – you know, he can only sort of help it, but I can only sort of not be constantly confused. So yeah. We work it out.
As long as you can build that bridge a little bit in between, then
yeah.
You know, that's what you go for. I thought this discussion that happened.
Reading this today too.
IMDb's closing their message boards.
APod by ClusterCuss, which is also a really good username.
Yes.
Does anybody else read IMDb's message boards besides me?
I sure don't.
A lot of times when I'm like, when I've just seen a movie and there's something about it where I'm like, what? Like, that's the first place I go because usually someone else is there in the forums being like, what? And, you know, it ranks somewhere between Yahoo Answers and Quora in terms of usefulness. But, yeah. I was amazed the kind of that they still existed, but also amazed that they would shut them down, probably because they don't want to deal with the freaking comments, right?
Yeah, I think that's basically all there is to it. It's like, you know, this is, I suppose, just of a piece with other things we've seen and talked about in terms of like shutting off comments or like deciding not to have comments that like, yeah, maybe at some point you say, well, what are we getting out of this versus what is it costing us?
Right, even though they have a huge community, so that's going to be – I mean, you've just got – I worry that Flickr's going to do this at some point, right? That they're like, we just don't even care. And I'm going to be like, no, every link in my blog for the last 15 years is broken.
Yeah, I think about that at night sometimes. I sort of stopped using Flickr much years ago almost as a reflection of that vague anxiety that at some point it would stop being useful, so why don't I just stop using it?
Yeah, I've been uploading more direct images, but I am a little concerned.
Yeah.
But the best part of this post, which I maybe you're going to talk about, but well, now I'm talking about it.
Talk about
is our user CMS, which is an awesome username, who was the original developer of the Internet Movie Database System Boards.
Yeah.
And actually wrote an essay, which I actually spent, you know, 15, 20 minutes actually reading about what it was like to write that as a 30-year-old developer at the end of 2001. It's glorious if you're really into kind of internet nerdery and how that stuff happens. So cool.
Yeah, it's a nice out-of-the-blue sort of mic drop bit of, you know, actual internet history and context that was just like, you know, it's a perfectly nice thread without it. But then there's boom. Oh, by the way, I know that.
Yeah, and he's been a user for, you know, 5 years. So it's not like he just showed up to be like, oh, by the way, although that is – okay, you've got to look at his user page, though, because this is glorious. He's made one comment. He's made one favorite. And he's been favorited by others 11 times. It's all zeros and ones.
That's a lot of ones.
No. Seriously, everything else is a zero.
Yeah,
he doesn't link to anyone.
Yeah.
Nobody links to him. Like, I don't even want to – I don't want to touch anything. I don't want to fuck it up. It's beautiful.
He's been flagged once.
Oh,
as fantastic.
It just gets better and
better.
Yeah,
no, it's yep.
Yeah. So yeah, I really enjoyed that thread as well. Well, and the thread that the other one that I liked from much, much earlier in the month is Manny Gutierrez, who's going to be the face of Maybelline's new mascara. Basically, he's a attractive man who is going to be a makeup model for Maybelline, but he's the first dude, I think, who's been, you know, a makeup model, and the whole thing is super, super interesting.
Nice.
I mean, the thread gets a little bouncy, as you might expect, but it was just interesting to me. I don't really know a lot of men who wear makeup in my day-to-day life, so it was kind of cool just to learn about his thing, to look at his Instagram, and to learn about other sort of, I guess, beauty boys. This is by Sokka Shot First. And just, I liked the post, and then I enjoyed kind of watching people talk about, like, well, what does makeup mean in this context? And, I mean, people have some strong opinions. I have an Ask Metafilter thread that I'll talk about in relation to this later. But, yeah, it just got me into a culture I didn't know anything about, and it was interesting.
Yeah. Let's see. I this is just from the other day. Yesterday, that one, maybe. I don't know what day it is anymore. ever since we switched to the, you know, after Trump calendar, I've been, I Work From Home by Colin Neeson, which is an essay in the New Yorker. It's a McSweeney's-ish thing, which I think he's a McSweeney's writer. So that makes sense.
Oh yeah. I skipped this entirely.
It's just, it's
I was
a jokey.
Like, nothing about those tags makes this look like something I would want. So tell me,
it's a jokey, like 911, crisis call from someone who works from home, where just like literally all the things that you can imagine being a work from home issue are like, you know, sir, have you showered today? I don't know. go to the bathroom. I want you to walk to the bathroom with me and find your towel. Is your towel wet? Sobbing. No, you know, it's just a goofy, it's like over top thing, but you know, it's right. Funny. But then it led to this, pile of discussion from MeFights, about, you know, working from home and their experiences and the, oh yes, this resonates true, 'cause I am incapable of doing this, to the, no, actually I love working from home, and you know, everywhere in between. So it's a fun read. Fun read, and I think a lot of MeFights probably have that experience to some extent.
Cool. Yeah, one of the things that occurred to me, that one of the reasons I find traveling so stressful, I mean, whatever, traveling's just a little stressful for everybody, right? But I always feel like more wiped out by it, I think, is because I have to get up and get dressed every day. And like, I just don't do that in my day-to-day life. Like, I get dressed when I have to go do something, but most of the time I just pat around the house, and I live most of my life without having to get dressed. Whereas, like, you know, if you're staying at somebody's house, you kind of have to get dressed when you mostly get up, you know, or sort of dressed. And like, if you go to conferences all day, like, you have to like get into clothes when you leave the building, and just and then you stay in them all day. You know, like we learned from Ask Metafilter that many people, even people who go to work outside the house, like they'll come home and they'll have their, like, what do they call them? After pants? Where they just like wear their underwear around, or they put on like, you know, whatever those kind of loungy lounge trousers. What are they called? Lounge? You know what I mean.
Lounge-ousers.
Those sweatpants with the pockets. That was one of the things I did notice in Canada.
There's a special name
sweatpants.
For sweatpants with pockets?
Well, no, they're like those kind of cotton.
Don't have pockets
sometimes. Like, they're like pajamas, but they don't have a fly in the front you can pee out of.
Okay.
But, and they've kind of got pockets. I swear to God, they're called like lounge pants, but maybe.
Oh, probably. Yeah. I think I'm not up on this at all. So don't look to my lack of.
Do you get dressed when you go to work at Metafilter?
No. I just don't have a name for my pajama pants. They're just pajama pants.
Do they have pockets?
Yeah, some of them do.
See,
I have some that
those
do
are lounge
that.
Pants. They're not pajamas at all, Josh.
Well, there we go. I don't know. They feel like pajamas. I think if I
left
the house
in them,
they feel
like pajamas. Well, this was one of the things I noticed about being in Canada, is that sweatpants as actual trousers are making a comeback. Not just the, like, fuck it, I've given up on life sweatpants, but like kind of snuggy sweatpants on fit people. I mean, it takes all kinds. Both kinds are important. But like as a thing you can wear for fashion, not a thing you can wear as like anti-fashion.
Isn't like a closely fitting pair of sweatpants basically just like sort of tights at that point though?
Or, no, because you know, they've got
leggings.
They've got pockets. Leggings don't have pockets.
I guess, yeah.
See, and they're made of sweatpant material. And they're kind of like, they're almost like skinny jeans.
Yeah.
They've got seams on them. It's hard to explain.
So they're like sweatpants jeggings.
They're just sweatpants. They're sweatpants. but do you just wear them not at the gym? You wear them to the movies.
Fair enough.
I think. At any rate, it was fascinating. And maybe I'll actually read this thing. But having to get dressed every day, complicated. Didn't enjoy it.
It's not great. I enjoy the work from home thing.
Because people really dress to go to conferences. You know, like if I'm going to the coffee shop in town, I can get like half dressed.
Yeah.
But like to go to a conference, you need to wear like your top clothes and your bottom clothes.
Yep. You got to do the whole schmear. You got to like look like you knew you were leaving the house.
Yeah. Earrings. Everything.
The whole deal.
All of it. All right. Well, one more post that I really liked was Joseph Girl's post on the March on Washington in 1971, the May Day action.
Oh, I didn't see this.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, it was on the 22nd. I don't remember what day the Women's March was.
21st. So this would have been the Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was that weekend. And it was just about a large-scale protest that happened in D.C. that a lot of people don't know about, and it was cool.
Thanks. Well, I have, having not read it, I have nothing to add, so I'll take your word for it.
Perfect. But, you know, I mean, I appreciated it in addition to sort of all of the, like, hey, are you at the Women's March? What's going on? That kind of stuff. Like, I enjoy when people are able to make topical posts that – are a different aspect of maybe the same kind of cultural phenomenon, but not about the actual thing. And I also, I guess, would like to, if you don't mind, point out my own post about Wyatt and Willie.
Please proceed.
On Ontario's answer to Punxsutawney Phil. Apparently, there are a whole bunch of different Groundhog Day mascots. But this is the one for Ontario, and apparently one year he died. But, like, the one they used died right before Groundhog Day, so they couldn't find a replacement, so they had a little groundhog funeral.
That's amazing.
It's hilarious. The whole thing is amazing. And so they, you know, had a little funeral. They put coins over his eyes and a carrot in his paws, maybe. Who knows? But then, so Wyatt and Willie is now more famous than he might have been otherwise. And so then people are making all sorts of jokes about, you know, what the other groundhogs are. So like in Nova Scotia, there's, Shubenacadie Sam, a famous Canadian groundhog. And then that led me, of course, to the Wikipedia page of individual groundhogs.
Of course.
And then, which is a subsection of the page, individual rodents, including Crasher Squirrel and Twiggy the water skiing squirrel. And then the glorious page of individual mammals, which includes individual camels, individual giraffes, individual hippopotamuses. And then individual primates, which is, you know, broken down into individual apes and individual monkeys.
Nice.
Just great.
Taxonomy,
so great.
Man.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons I like Wikipedia, despite the fact that I find so many of the people there so noxious. The taxonomy is glorious. Glorious.
Hi, this is Greg Ace, not to be confused with the most excellent Greg Nogg. I'm keeping this voicemail short to avoid any nasty retort, since indulging my whim risks reproach is quite grim, and I do want you all to adore it. Oh, and having said that, it's Jeff, goddammit.
Good evening, Wordshaw here again. One small point is requiring on the word herbs. Herbs being the plural of any plant with leaves, seeds, or flowers used for flavouring, food, medicine, or perfume. Herbs is spelt H-E-R-B-S. And it is pronounced herbs. It is not pronounced herbs. There is no U in herbs. And also the H is pronounced herbs, not herbs. Good evening.
Hey, I just wanted you all to know there's free bananas in the break room.
I was just going to hop along. I was going to say I wanted to mention this post. Let's see who made this. Yes, a man made this post about I Lick the Bread, which is just kind of amazing. It's a goofy little poem somebody
read. Oh, is that the cat poem thing?
Well, it's a cow poem formally, but I think
there's
been...
Oh, the cow poem. Yeah. I knew it was C, two letters, and an animal. So.
Yes, it's a cow poem. My name is Cow, and when it's night or when the moon is shining bright and all the men have gone to bed, I stay up late. I lick the bread.
I like the bread.
I lick. It's really? Licking. Yeah. The language is intentionally sort of mimicking, I think, sort of like Middle English or early modern English spelling variations, which
and
is
then
interesting.
Just
yeah, people
riff.
Just ran with it. And it's funny. I love this because there's a bunch of riffing with it. I am super angry at It's Raining Florence Henderson because he got to the This Is Just to Say first. And then I had to resort to Red Wheelbarrow instead.
What's
but
Red
yes,
Wheelbarrow?
That's the other famous William Carlos Williams poem. So much depends upon a red wheelbarrow glazed with rainwater besides the white chickens. It's a little... Yeah,
that's not as good.
It doesn't have plums, so nobody likes it, but it's another good one. Anyway, it's a delightful riffing thread, and the thread manifests some of the same issues that have come up in arguments on Tumblr about the poem, which is like... Is the idea that stuff is spelled wrong because it's aping, you know, earlier English, or is it being spelled wrong because it's like a lolcat thing where animals can't spell well, and there's like dichotomies and friction on the internet about this, and you see a
because
variety.
Maybe
of,
you're like making fun of people who don't know things. Is that
well? I think it's like the idea of violating the intention of the form of the poem. Like people are saying, no, the original poem was clearly using this meter, this 8-line structure, and the misspellings are intended to evoke a specific period of English development. You can't just like do 12 lines and 5 syllables and say I can has. It's, you know, it's like a violation of the aesthetic ground of
see.
The poem, man. You know, people having quote unquote serious
can.
Arguments in Tumblr and stuff about it. But anyway, it was a very fun thread. I was delighted by it. It continues to burble on. Eyebrows McGee's kids have contributed a few poems recital at this point. So yeah, it's great. Go read it. It's wonderful. It's one of those nice, goofy internet things.
Awesome.
And I could power through like 6 quickies here if you want.
Yeah, that's fine. I didn't have a lot of Metafilter this month. I did not spend as much time on Metafilter.
All right, I'll chuck this stuff.
But I have a lot of Ask Metafilter.
Yeah, all right. There was a post about a webcomic named Webcomic
Name.
I didn't know this was Alex Norris.
Here.
And
nice.
Yes, it's if you read the internet, you have probably seen a couple of these comics around. They're like sort of almost it's a mystery looking ghost type figures, just abstract humans having colorful dilemmas in 3 panels. The 3rd panel, which is always an expression of despair. Oh no, at what has happened. It's real simple and it's fantastic. And then someone, McGursky, made a comic tool for generating your own. You know, it's very limited, but it works. Which is just kind of the perfect amount there of functionality. And yeah, so people started making their own using that tool as well. It's a fun thread. It's a good time.
One of them is just an Arrival joke.
Yeah. Which I still haven't seen,
movie.
So I need
God,
to...
God, that movie made me so furious. So this makes me laugh.
Also in comics on the web, there is a nice comic of... Under Pressure being sung by pigeons. It's not actually it's not an audio recording. It's just a lengthy comic drawing out and illustrating the lyrics as performed by pigeons, and it's delightful and you should go read it. There's not much else to say about that. Just check it out. There is a idiotic stunt somebody did on Amazon just to prove a point where they made a book that's literally just a photograph of their own foot and become a number one best-selling author by just using, you know, tweaking the system and aiming very small.
So it was the whole thing that they made it and they made it cost a cent and then they bought 3,000 of them or something and then...
Yes. Well, not even... I think it was like $3 and they got like 20 friends to buy a copy or something. But they hit like a niche, like, you know, they're the best-selling author in some sub category. But as a result, Amazon declares them a number one bestseller or number one best-selling author for life. on according to Amazon systems. Like, so it's
really
a,
oh I get
some
it.
Sort of dumb little thing like that. So it's interesting. It's a funny thing. It's a nice short read. It's an interesting look at some of the weird edge cases of Amazon and stuff. But it's also a thread full of just stupid body part puns that started almost immediately. And that sort of shit.
Transpersonal is the name of the category. This is a great article. How did I miss this?
It's nice. Good. And then, yeah, come for the article, stay for the terrible puns in the
And then
thread.
A thread full so, of japery.
Yep. So it was pretty much perfect. There was this amazing article about a tweet that the Oreo marketing teams or marketing agency working for Oreo did back in 2013 during a blackout at the Super Bowl.
You know, I read like the title of or this post and I didn't understand what the heck was going on.
The definitive like, oral history of the Oreo You Can Still Dunk in the Dark Super Bowl tweet. It's apparently it was a big deal at the time in digital marketing and social media marketing. And there's actually a really good comment late in the thread. I mean, there's a bunch of discussion about is this satire? Is this real? And it is real. You know, what's going on here? And, you know, people arguing to some extent about whether or not this is legitimately interesting or just a bunch of ad people being completely full of themselves or maybe sort of somewhere in between.
Well, because I've never heard of this, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
I wouldn't have been keeping track of Twitter on Super Bowl Sunday 4 years ago looking for Oreo tweets. So Blue Milker came in sort of later in the thread and said, you know, it's nice to see people having this sort of reaction because – marketing is ridiculous and I work in it, but I
right,
totally,
right, right.
I
and it's nice to hear not
this.
Marketing people.
Yeah. But you know, they also have the context. So they sort of lay out the context that isn't in the article because the article I think was written for the specific audience that would like, oh yeah, fuck yeah. The Oreo tweet. And everybody right. else is like, what? And so the article just comes off as like, what? But yeah, so Blue Milker lays out a nice, several paragraphs of sort of context and, making the point that like the interesting thing about the tweet was that
was
whole
the timeliness and how
like that's so normal now, but like 4 years ago that was still no. We got to put it
edgy
know, through the agency. We got to give this like you know 6 weeks of lead time.
Right, whatever. It's got to be approved. It's got to go up the food chain. Okay, yeah. I get it. Well, that helps contextualize it a lot.
So it's an interesting thing overall, and I maintain that the actual article as written is fucking ridiculous just because it is so breathless. But you know it's. In its context, I'm sure it sort of makes more sense. And it's interesting how much it being dependent on that context affects whether or not it seems like fucking ridiculous or, oh, okay, this is a peek into a little bit of industry lore.
Right.
Quick things, and then we'll move right to Ask Metafilter. One is there is a new, and I'm sure you know I'm going to bring this up as soon as I bring it up, but there's a new Neil Cicierega album that I made a post about and I don't fucking care.
Oh, I saw you on Twitter about this. I was worried for 5 minutes that maybe you didn't know about this yet
when I saw
it come out because Griffiths was posting
about it. Yes, I was so excited about it. Mouth sounds and mouth silence I've talked about many times before on the podcast, and this is the third one. It's called Mouth Moods, and it's fantastic. I think it's the best one yet. And I was tweeting about it. To me, it's important to me. I was tweeting about it before Andy Bao was, before Waxy got to it. I got to it. And I was like, yes, I'm still on the internet. I still got it. I'm still
he
here.
Has children. Sorry.
I mean, he got to it like 10 minutes later. So like he was around. He just, you know, anyway, it's exciting. It's wonderful. Go listen to it. It's goofy. I love those albums. And the new one is fantastic. And then listen to all again over and over again and cope somehow with everything that's going on is my advice to you. And one last thing, this guy.
You know how some people are like
Parsky.
Blah, blah, sports ball.
Yeah.
And you're always like, shut up. The Super Bowl was actually pretty fucking great.
Yeah.
I do have a hard, like, I don't get this at all. You know, like this dude is a cultural phenomenon that I do not understand.
Yeah. No, and that's fine too. Like, I don't think, I don't think it's like objectively everybody will like this, but, man, I sure do.
Oh, speaking of which, was there a fan fail Super Bowl thread? Like, did you guys
there
do
was.
That?
There was. You know, we didn't make a ton of noise about it, but we did set it up and stick a pointer to it. And there was some chatter in there. I didn't check on it once the game had actually started. I went off to ignore the Super Bowl party with some friends and
Yeah, well, I noticed that. I'm sorry to derail. You had one more thing you wanted to talk about, but I was just, it didn't get as much,
I don't think people were like feeling the Super Bowl quite so much this year, you know, for some reason, you know, that there just wasn't the same level of excitement and energy. I don't know. So yes, there's one last post I'll mention. This was a post by Chains of Freedom, about a guy who makes sweaters of places and then takes pictures of himself wearing the sweaters at those places. And that's the whole thing. And I was so excited about this. I looked it up and he's a guy named Sam Barsky and he posts stuff on his Facebook page too.
Oh, I feel like I saw this on Milkshake, maybe? I don't know.
I bet a few got posted on Milkshake. It's great. He's just like, it's exactly what it sounds like. He's just this nice guy who does this goofy thing.
Well, and
he's
schlubbier than you would think he is though.
Yeah, no, he's like some dude, you know?
Right.
And it's fantastic and you should go look at his stuff and it's great. And he's got a sweater. One of his sweaters is a sweater decorated with a bunch of his other sweaters. He knitted miniature versions of various other sweaters he'd knitted on a sweater. And, I love this guy. It's the best. And
there's 16 more images. So I missed it.
Yeah. There's a bunch.
Oh, llama sweater. Ooh, pumpkin sweater.
Yeah. Guy's been doing this for years.
Eiffel Tower sweater, shark sweater. Yeah.
Yep. Anyway.
Because what a random weird habit, right? Like, does he have a blog?
It's just his Facebook page as far as I can tell. Yeah. Which, I mean, it's probably kind of a slow, like, he does like one sweater a month. So, you know, it'd be a slow updating blog. So, yeah, whatever.
Nope. Now I'm looking at his Facebook page, The Artistic Knitting of Sam Barsky. Great.
It's fantastic.
There's a live video of him knitting a sleeve.
Nice.
The whole thing is great.
Yep.
All right.
So that's me and that's Metafilter. Shall we discuss?
Wore a groundhog sweater on Groundhog Day? What? Yes, of course.
Oh, that's since. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, he's, you know, up for it. Up on it.
Moon Patrol. We wake up at noon. Moon Patrol. Patrolling on the moon. The throttle's open wide. Moon Patrol, crossing the dark side. Moon Patrol.
All right, so is Ask Metafilter next?
Yeah,
I guess it would have to be, right?
Yeah, by process of elimination almost.
Well, we could start talking about MetaTalk now, just to
fuck with them. They thought we knew where they. Ah, fuck it. Tell me about Ask Metafilter, Desmond.
Well, I enjoyed Ask Metafilter because there were lots of things that were relevant to my interests. So specifically, as I think I told you, we went over to my sister's house to watch the Super Bowl. My sister's got two cats. Two cats used to be my dad's cats. They are fussy cats who require things, including a cat fountain, which, whatever. Some cats are weird. They require this. But my sister's cat fountain is, like, kind of noisy. And, like, the guest room is, like, right by the cat fountain. And so you can't move the cat fountain because maybe the cats can't find their water and something terrible will happen. And so it's always been this thing where I kind of go, like, fuck with the cat fountain after she goes to bed because it makes this irritating noise, and I've been kind of like, dude. And she's like, what can you do? Cat fountains are noisy. And I'm like, no, they're not. Yours is like fucked up. And she's like, no, it isn't. And so I read this thread, which is basically Misanthropic Sarah being like, my cat can't drink out of the bathroom sink. I need a cat fountain. And Jamaro, who, as you know, has like little secret genius areas and every now and again dumps a new secret genius area, is basically like, yeah, okay, here's one I made for $11 and it's perfect out of a bucket and an aquarium filter and it's just amazing. And so I was all set to like go to my sister's with $11 worth of bucket and filter and being like, fuck it, this is what your cats are doing now and I'm going to get to sleep when I sleep here. But her old cat fountain had finally completely fallen apart and broken, and so she had bought a new one, and it turned out the old one was in fact fucked because the new one is silent.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah. So I enjoyed the thread by Misanthropic Sarah. I enjoyed Jamaro dropping some science on the whole thing and giving a whole bunch of, you know, there's a photo in a later comment, you know, talking about how her cats can't tip it over. So if you don't really care how it looks, it's the perfect, you know, it's, people are going to be talking about this cat fountain for years because it's just perfect. You know, it's like Oreo tweet, perfect cat fountain.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Nice.
Yeah. So, aside from that, there was one that got, wrapped up really quickly, just this afternoon, like literally in 9 minutes, like you've been worrying about a thing and you don't have to worry about it. It's somebody who's, I believe married to someone who's Irish. They're American. Let me check. They live in the U.S. The Irish parent lives in the U.S. The parent wants the kids to also have Irish citizenship, but they're getting hung up on the paperwork because there's all these documents. But then it turns out as long as one parent is an Irish citizen, you don't need to do that. And the user says that is the best possible answer. And it was 9 minutes in and helped solve this person's
problem.
Nice.
That's excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. Just made me happy.
Good job, Ask Metafilter.
And another one that is relevant to my interests is a pretty straightforward food post by Rush That Speaks. How does spaghetti squash do the thing?
I guess I can guess what, like it's got that weird texture. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like noodles. How does it like noodles? And Julia Thumbscrew shows, Jewel Thumbscrew? Jewel, it never occurred to me. Jewel Thumbscrew. Okay. I always thought that was Julia Thumbscrew. Nope. And basically it's like, oh, it's got alternating deposits of high methoxyl pectin and low methoxyl pectin. One dissolves, the other does not. Strengths.
Boom.
Bam!
That's a straight up answer. That's nice.
Yeah, well, because I was all like, well, you know, because I eat it. So I think that makes me some kind of an expert.
I refrain from eating it. I'm not down with a spaghetti squash.
Oh, really? Yeah. Like you just don't like it, or you have actual problems?
No, just texture. Like I don't like it. I have trouble with a variety of squashes, but I've made some progress there. Like, and I like a zucchini just fine. So,
here's what I found that helped me really change my mind about spaghetti squash. I don't know if it'll work for you or not. And of course, spaghetti squash is really one of those optional things because it's not like you're going to show up and it's going to be in a restaurant. I make lasagna with it.
I would be so angry if I tried to eat spaghetti swash lasagna. I'd be like,
I mean, I make it as lasagna, like not that I hide it in lasagna.
Well, no, but
bullshit.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I have a very, like, I really like lasagna. And I have a very specific sense of what it is I like about lasagna. And if like spaghetti swash was in there, I'd be like flipping a table over.
But this is like no noodles. It's just spaghetti squash and sauce, and then you put cheese over the
top. Yeah,
so it's
and
really lasagna. It's more of a spaghetti squash tomato casserole.
So I'm just saying, like,
if I called it something else, would that help?
Yeah, the two things would help. It's like if you called it something else and didn't try and get me to eat it, those provisions applying, I am super on board. Go crazy for it. Like, I don't mind that other people eat it. I just,
right. No, I hear you. So you don't like it. You don't like it.
A point of contention because Secretariat actually really likes squash of sort of all sorts, so it's tricky
with her discerning palate.
Yeah, and I have to be like, no, you can totally eat that. I don't want to, but you can totally eat that. But I don't want to.
Right? Yeah, that's what I am with Jim and like mushrooms and olives.
Yeah,
like go nuts. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, which is only tricky because we tend to like sort of like cook meals for both of us, so we have to sort of navigate that.
Right.
Actually, I had a speaking of Secretariat, she tossed a couple asks she liked my way. That I had not seen that I quite like, one of which is this.
Whoa, I didn't see this.
This is from Silsurf from like about a week and a half ago. I need to move a rock in my backyard that's too big to move. How do you move a rock? And like the first answer out of the gate was a good description from Sunburnt of how it works. And then there were some pretty great links in there from other people saying, oh yeah, here's an illustration of how that works. And then Silsurf came back to say, awesome, I looked, and I'm going to do that. And they moved the rock.
Nice!
So, yes.
Hey, that's great. You know, I've been thinking about putting giant rocks in my backyard, like really massive ones. And that has been one of the things, like at my dad's place, and that has been one of the things that has been stopping me, is I'm totally afraid I'm going to get it part of the way there and then be stuck and not have a posse.
Yeah.
Who could help.
Nice. So it's doable.
I missed that entirely. That's a great thread. I had two media threads that I liked a lot.
Uh-huh.
One of which was by Think Long. I like quiet books by diverse authors. So like books that are kind of descriptive, not a lot of drama stuff going on. You know, sensitive books, whatever, but not by the usual sort of white dudes.
So we're looking for basically literally the opposite of a Dan Brown novel.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and so there's a lot of really good advice in there. It's the kind of book that I like, too, that I kind of marked it. And then another thing that is like, oh, hey, I like that, too, is a post by Fork is Better, who just watched Le Revenant and British series Penny Dreadful. What are other awesome non-U.S. shows? And, you know, I kind of like drama more than comedy. I'm looking for creative writing. You know, I enjoyed these Scandinavian murder mysteries. You know, what else is out there?
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, no, we're watching Penny Dreadful right now and really enjoying it. So,
what is Penny Dreadful? I don't know anything
about it.
It's
a late 19th century sort of gothic horror mashup series. So you got Dr. Frankenstein and his monster and also a werewolf and also, you know, Dracula and Mina Harker and various witchery and so on, all just sort of mashed together.
But it's good.
Yeah, yeah. It's like,
I mean, have you watched Grimm at all?
Yeah, it's
Grimm is awful.
Very different tone. Very different tone. No, Penny Dreadful is more of a sort of self-serious but still kind of fun, spooky sort of drama with monsters, and it's really good. I'm really enjoying it. The first season was nice. The second season, I feel like, has sort of said, okay, now we know what we're doing. Let's really go for it. And it's good stuff. And
nice.
It would be good even if you, like, don't know, like, classic gothic horror, but it's all that
it's
much more fun. You're like,
you
I see what they're doing with – you just got that same sense of sort of, like, playing with the source material as, like, sort of Hannibal had with the actual books from that series, where it's like, this isn't how Frankenstein goes, but – this is all
but I
stuff
like what
from
they're doing
Frankenstein,
it. Yeah.
And it's interesting and it's fun. And so they're definitely having a good time. So, this is great. This is I'm going to favorite this now because we will probably.
Yeah, and there was another one which I can't find right now, but it was somebody who likes like real hard science, like kind of body horror sci-fi. In fact, I should be able to find it because I commented in it. It wasn't that long ago.
Well, while you look for it, I'll mention also this one. Dersins asked about short American horror fiction by authors
really
who aren't white men. It's Dersins.
I have always said Dersins. Yep.
I did for many years, too, and then eventually I...
I mean, I know he lives out near you, or at least used to.
Yeah, no, he still does. He gets out to a meetup like once every 3 years or so. It's nice when we see him.
Nice.
Which we didn't recently, Dersins. Jesus. He's in a lot of political work, and I sort of assume he may be fairly busy right now getting his activist work on. So, but anyway,
I saw this too.
Yeah, so short American horror fiction by authors who aren't white men. So sort of in the same wheelhouse but different genre and style.
Yeah, and the one I found, which doesn't have that prerequisite, was, you know, what's this decade's Blood Music by Greg Bear, kind of a bio-horror, you know, mitochondria and farandole, kind of like stuff that gets in your blood and then does a thing.
Yeah.
Turbid Dahlia really likes those books, but what are some other ones? And I had some suggestions because I like those kinds of books specifically too, but it was good to read other people's suggestions.
So yeah.
I'll have to like go and meta talk again and encourage people to work on the Read Me.
Oh, yeah.
Wiki page, especially since we've been talking about the wiki.
That just came up today. I think since I don't work today, I've been trying not to look too much at stuff. But
good man.
I saw
good man.
By.
So ReadMe hasn't been updated since 2014, which is terrible.
You know.
So, I mean, I haven't updated it either. So nobody's updated it. But that would, put in a little plug like, hey, you could add some books to the book list.
You could make a MetaTalk post if you want. I promise I'll put it through.
Ah, very exciting. But no, fuck it. I don't work for you. No. I mean, maybe eventually, but not right now.
Yeah, it was nice having you do that.
I keep feeling like I did. but I
was it,
clearly
was
haven't.
That, was that since the last podcast or right before the last podcast that you worked those couple of days?
Right before. It was at the very end of December.
Okay, so we talked about it last time then. Well, that was a thing that happened. All right.
That was super, super fun.
Do you have more ask?
I think that's mostly it, except for the noted without comment, which we're just going to put in the links, and I'm not going to say a word about
it. Oh, yeah, that one. Okay, yeah. Okay, let's move on. actually, you know, there was there was one other fun one that Secretariat sent my way. This was
why don't we have her on the podcast, Josh?
We should have her on the podcast.
She
sometime.
Seems to pay attention to the website.
Yeah, she does. No, I would like to have her on. I'll check with her. You know, I don't want to declare that she will because maybe she doesn't feel like being.
Okay,
on mic,
dude, but this is really weird that you have just included this.
Yeah.
Because Jim and I have both been talking about roller shoes. In the last 12 hours, there were two kids at the supermarket last night who had them. And he, like, we have this, like, subject line back because, you know, we email each other multiple times a day, every day. And so you can't think of new subject lines. So we have subject lines that just have, like, a format, you know, and make jokes inside them. But one of his was about Heelys before he knew that I saw kids in the supermarket with Heelys. And now this? That's my flabbergasted noise. All right, keep going.
Well, this is Metronome asking for costume ideas featuring roller shoes because they're going to a party. It's a costume event thing, and there's big flat spaces. Be great for gliding along. And so what would be some good costume ideas for that context to incorporate the roller shoes? And people had a bunch of fun suggestions. You know, it's not a huge thread. Like, that's probably, you know, maybe a dozen comments, but, you know, people had fun suggestions. And one of them was like, Jamiroquai do virtual insanity. And that's what they did. So,
nice.
I don't know if we'll ever get pics or anything, but, just knowing that that happened, I'm delighted.
Oh, I hope so. That would be cool.
We should talk about fun stuff and potentially serious stuff for MetaTalk. And,
well, one of the things I've been talking about MetaTalk is that I appreciate, people really making an effort with the morale posts. I love Eyebrows McGee's Meta Talk Tale hour that she does.
Yeah, that's
been
a fun
thing. I like the fact
that
we're doing Women's March next
month,
which is very important, and we should mention before next month starts. Why don't I include some links here instead of just talking?
Hey, you know.
Hey!
We're going in a new direction. No citations.
Yeah, so Sciatrix basically was like, hey, how about Women's March for next month? And you can follow the Meta Talk Tales tag to see the posts about, you know, here's a conversation topic. Go, Eyebrows McGee. You'll post a little post. And I appreciate those so that people can kind of get together.
And I think that's going to be just sort of like a weekly thing now. It works pretty well. You know, her normal shift, she pulls, you know, evenings on the weekends. So the site tends to be relatively quiet too. So it's like a good excuse to have something for people to do if they're just looking for somewhere to go chill out.
Right, but it gives you something to talk about so that people don't have to just play grab ass and, you know, random threads that aren't about that.
Exactly.
Crap on somebody's groundhog thread. But yeah, Greg Nogg had his kind of you made it, you're proud of it, let's see it.
Yeah, that was an
Billy
awesome
B
thread.
Had the love in thread. You guys, did you want to talk about the political button that I haven't even clicked?
Oh, totally.
I don't want to.
Yeah, I do want to.
It sounded like people were into it.
Yeah, it's been a really good. I'll jump back for a second and say the you
Can
made
you
it, you're proud
it?
Of it thread. Really great. Like it's just great because it's one of the things that not only it's fun to sort of sit around chat, but like there's literally like
so
I think 200 people saying, oh, hey, here's a thing I made. Here's a link to it. And it's just you could spend a day in there. It's really rad. So like if you want to go see cool stuff that people on the site are making, just like independent of the site, just like stuff people do, it's a really neat thread. So that's one of my favorites. I'm slowly plowing through it when I get a chance. But yeah, so the political widget, we just rolled this out yesterday. Yeah, it's Tuesday.
I just found out about it today. So yeah, yesterday it looks like.
Yeah, we just rolled this out yesterday afternoon. This is a new sidebar widget. It's down under the contact activity sidebar and above the new noteworthy sidebar links.
There it is.
It's something you can just enable if you want to strip most of the political related posts off of the default view of the front page. which is something you could do with my MeFi with some like tag filtering.
So wait,
stuff.
I just clicked the minus. Did that do anything?
That just
besides hiding the widget.
That just hides the widget. We got to work on how to like convey that because it's a problem. We talked about that for like hours over the weekend too, about how best to position stuff, and then that's the one thing we didn't.
I
really
don't
think
at
about.
All mean to be like your user experience sucks. I'm just,
no.
Like,
it's a tricky thing because like it's happened to several people, and they're like, "Well, I don't get it. It's not working." And it's like, "Well, that's because you did something that made total sense, but wasn't the thing we wanted you to think to do." So we got to figure that out still.
It should just say hide widget, right? Or hide, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's, okay.
Yeah. Let's.
Good luck.
Yep. Exactly. But the actual thing it does, yeah, you click on the.
It says collapse. That makes sense.
Yeah. If you hit the main link in there, I'm not even looking at the thing. I don't remember the verbiage we landed on.
I'm looking at the thing.
What does the link say that makes the posts not be visible? Hide U.S. political posts. U.S. politics.
Wait,
posts.
Where's that?
Are you in Classic?
Yes.
Or it may have very slightly different phrasing on Classic versus Modern.
That's fine.
Anyway,
don't even worry about me.
There's a link of a list of links in the sidebar and a hide posts link. And if you click on the hide post links, the list of links go away, and also the front page will no longer show anything that's tagged with the POTUS 45 tag, which is just the general purpose stuff about the current administration and related matters tag we're using.
Nice.
So if you're like, man, I really like going to Metafilter to get away from fucking politics, you can click this and boom, they'll sort of not be there as you're browsing Metafilter.
They'll fade a little bit more into the background.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean you can't get
them
elsewhere.
Does that work for you too?
It does not work for admins. We decided we should not have the posts magically disappear for us. As much as I would like for that to be a possibility.
Too bad. I would love to see it, like, you know, 5 days from now, be like, man, this thread's gotten totally out of control. And then have one of the mods be I hit that.
Yeah. Nope. We don't get to use
it.
We actually set it up so that if we activate it while in like the admin view, the posts just don't go away.
Which smart.
Caused some bug testing difficulty when we were trying to figure it out. I was like, it's broken. Oh, no. Oh, wait. No, I'm in admin mode.
Well, I mean, you guys have like test accounts though, right?
Yeah. No, it's not a problem. It's just the goofiness. Anyway, the whole idea is you can sort of get away from that temporarily or permanently if you want in browsing the front page. But also, if it's not set to filter stuff out, it's also got that little list of links. And that's sort of links to...
Well, that seems super helpful for the people... who want that kind of thing
like,
without surfacing it anymore for anyone else.
Yeah, if you're like, what's the current catch-all thread, you know, or hey, is there a thread about fucking Steve Bannon being on the National Security Council? Now you can sort of like look at this and be like, oh yeah, there is, rather than having to, you know, search or whatever. So yeah. And yeah, people seem to like it so far. I think we're going to see some ongoing sort of figuring out the details as we figure out what exactly should and should not fall under the umbrella of it. You know, I think there's going to be some edge case stuff where there's stuff that's like, there's weird sort of goofy internet culture riffing on the existence of this situation that might not really be a politics post, but at the same time, for someone who's like, I need to not see fucking Trump all day, might be like, well, I don't need to see this Trump related meme either, even if it's not really a politics post. So we'll sort of suss that stuff out as we go. But it seems to be working. People seem to like it.
I thought it was cool. I mean, you know, it seems like something that super helps people without inconveniencing other people. Nice job.
That's the aim. So yeah.
I have to say that I miss Ms. Molly, my friend, who passed away early in January, and Quinn.
Yep.
We had two sort of users people have heard about.
Yeah.
There were OBIT posts for. In case people, I mean, I don't know who listens to the podcast who isn't also reading MetaTalk, but just FYI.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of a rough, lurching start to the year right there.
Yes, in addition to all the other reasons.
Yeah, exactly. There's a nice thread about sort of activism and march and protest stuff and so on that Ignacht started about a week ago, basically saying, hey, did you go to the protests this weekend or last weekend?
Oh,
or
yeah, I like
what
that.
Else are you up to? Share your pics, share your experiences. And it's, if you're sort of looking for a sense of like what people are up to and just sort of updates from where Metafilter people are, it's a nice thread for that. So I hardly recommend it.
Kind of Boston area Mephite people have been getting out and about more than they might otherwise have been, and so that's been cool.
Yep. And that's about all I can think of specifically.
Maybe that's it.
That might be it for MetaTalk. I will mention real quick one great IRL that people should know about if they are in the Chicago area.
The Chicago people always put on such a good show.
Yeah. Chicago's a good town to go to a meetup in. If you're
this
ever like
Eamon Daly. I just saw Come Watch Me Wince in Pain.
Well, no, it's Biblio Girl, but that's a good point. That would be a pretty good guess as a blind item.
Wait a second. So there's a tattoo exhibit and you can get a tattoo? What?
Yeah, it sounds like 36 people are getting tattoos at this Field Museum tattoo exhibit, and one of them is Biblio Girl. And so
wow.
You can go hang out with her and Baniak while she gets tattooed in a museum, which sounds amazing.
That
if I was in the Chicago area,
cool.
I would be there because that's so great.
Yeah, she's the nicest too. I follow her on Instagram, and I just love like her set of photos. She's recently-ish married, and it's been fun to see all those. So sorry I couldn't make it. That sounds super cool.
Yeah. I had a couple other things. Happy news from, speaking of Canadians, but Vancouver, Giraldo and Smasich are engaged.
Hey!
They're adorable.
That's
and they've
wonderful.
Been a couple for a while, and they've come down to Portland. We've seen them in Vancouver a couple times, but now they're making it official. So
good on you, fellas.
And I did, I mentioned those albums from projects earlier, but I will do a music minute that is actually less than a minute for once, because it's just going to be one song that I was reminded of because you just commented it earlier today.
because somebody mentioned it in the Delight thread that I posted for whoever just posted.
Excellent. Yes, Eric Grand's classic music track, Moon Patrol.
Moon Patrol. Oh, sorry. That's got to be.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Yes, this
I love this song.
Amnesia and Magnets, Delightful Side of Metafilter thread.
Yeah.
Who mentioned this one? Barchan, who's I've been seeing around a lot lately. I believe Barchan recently just sort of quit her job
in
solidarity of not wanting to work for the evil empire anymore, which was very interesting. But Barchan also said how much she really loved Moon Patrol. And so I went and listened to it again and forgot how much
it's
really loved
every
Moon
time
Patrol.
Every time I listened, I was like, oh, this is the best goddamn thing in the world. I think she wrote about quitting her job in that This Is What Democracy
here it
looks
is.
Like thread.
So thumbs up, Barchan.
And covering the gamut, I'll mention Fanfare. I think we mentioned this at the start, but here is the Super Bowl thread, which, yes, now it has 174 comments. It had 11 when I looked at it on the day. So clearly I just missed
it. Not that many comments for not only a Super Bowl, but that was for those who didn't really watch it. It was kind of a lively, determined in overtime, big deal, no Super Bowl has ever gone into overtime before game. So I'm surprised there aren't more, but I guess the Mephite Super Bowl watcher overlap is not so much, maybe.
Yeah.
Or they were chatting on Twitter or something else.
Yeah, and we didn't put a banner up for didn't want to go full
you didn't tell anybody
it
was there.
I think I stuck it on the sidebar. So it was findable, but there hadn't been a MetaTalk discussion about whether there would be one or anything like that to prime it. So I think it was there for the people who went looking, pretty much.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Good enough.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that I may be done with Metafilter content now. I don't know if I have anything else I needed to mention. It's been a weird time. It's been a weird, weird time. And gosh, I'm really glad the site is here as much as it's been weird trying to help people deal with the weirdness on the site at times. It's nice to have this as a home base, and I just really appreciate it being there and people being here.
Yeah, I totally know how you feel. I also did, and I enjoyed getting to go to a meetup, and it's nice to have a place where I feel like I can talk to people about a lot of the weird crazy and the bad crazy that are going on nowadays.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I am right there with you.
So, yeah. Well, shall we call it? I think that's a podcast. I think we did it.
I think we did it.
I think that was
nice work.
All right.
It's always great talking to you. Everybody gear up for Women's March because that'll start before probably the next podcast.
Yep.
And we'll have another call-in show in another couple months. That was fun.
Yep.
Cool, man.
All right. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you, too. Goodbye.
Moon Patrol. We recover stolen jewels. Moon Patrol. We're running low on fuel. Moon Patrol. Not afraid to face. Moon Patrol. The emptiness of space. Moon Patrol. Intertwine. Moon Patrol, I kiss you on the lips. Moon Patrol.